Now, this verse 17 of the 15th chapter of Romans, it says, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. Now, this verse actually is dependent on the two verses that immediately precede this. And as we said last time, Paul here adopts the language of the Levitical priesthood and the temple worship in describing himself as a minister preaching the gospel, and that he offers up the Gentiles as an offering unto God. And he does this in a very humble way, you know. Paul was a very humble man, and it's not with any officious manner whatsoever. Therefore, he then adds this verse. He says, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ and those things which pertain to God. Now, in view of the fact that he'd been rather apologetic before, he'd written boldly and all that, and he recognized that these saints in Rome, that they probably didn't need his instruction, but that he wanted to come and bring it to them. But in spite of that, he's with confidence in writing to the Romans. There is no personal assumption in this, but he's only in Christ Jesus, and he is a servant of Christ Jesus, and he's doing his will. Friends, that's very important to see. There's one thing that should never characterize a servant of God, and that's pride, or to become officious. We ought to take the position always that we are merely serving him, the Lord Jesus, and he's really the one in charge. Now, verses 18 and 19, he says, For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, Paul is saying here something that's very important, friends, and if we're to understand Paul, and especially whether he founded the church in Rome or whether Peter founded the church in Rome, you'll need to follow it very carefully now. And if this is followed carefully, you'll not come up with any false assumptions, I can assure you. Now, Paul is saying, I will not take credit for the work of God that is being done by others, and especially among the Gentiles. Now, he couldn't take credit for the day of Pentecost, and that, of course, was the beginning that finally resulted in the gospel going to the Gentiles. Paul says that he couldn't take credit for that. He says, only those things which God has done through me, that's the only thing I'm going to speak of. And therefore, he couldn't speak of the fact that the gospel went through Simon Peter, first to the Gentiles in the home of Cornelius. Paul says, I couldn't take credit for that at all. And he'll not take credit for that which God did through him, actually by word and deed. Paul is going to say that he never built on another's foundation. He had a peculiar ministry as the apostle to the Gentiles, and that it was through mighty signs and wonders. Now, friends, I want to be very careful here, and I hope you'll hear me. The mighty signs and wonders were the credentials of the apostles and the ministers in the early church. These were given to establish the church on the right foundation. Before there had ever been written a word of the New Testament. Listen to Paul in Ephesians 2:20. He's speaking now of the church and believers, and they're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, he's not saying that the apostles are the foundation. There's no other foundation that any man can lay, that which is Jesus Christ. But the apostles are the ones who put down the foundation of Jesus Christ, my beloved. And that's what Paul is saying here. Now, Paul says, since the apostles did that, you have to be very careful who the apostles are and who you're listening to. Now, Paul had the credentials that God had given to the apostles. Now, listen to Acts 14:3. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. You see that these were the marks of the apostles and the early preachers of the gospel. They didn't come with a New Testament in their hand. They came with these credentials, mighty signs and wonders. Now there came a day when the mighty signs and wonders were not the mark. John, in 2 John, verse 10, says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. That's very important. May I say today, the question is the doctrine and not these signs. The tragic thing of the moment, and I have, they're coming to my desk now, literally a flood of letters from people that are being carried away by fanaticism, by wrong teaching, by false doctrine. Because there is a movement of the Spirit of God, but there's also a movement of the devil today. Satan is busy also. And a great many people are being carried away and trapped by that. And Paul has been so careful to emphasize the fact that the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. It's not, friends, these signs. It's not these outward physical things, but it just happens to be righteousness. And when I hear today of these groups meeting and they indulge in all kinds of sexual rites and that today they are not living for God at all, and then they talk about the fact that they have certain signs that they demonstrate, the tongues movement. My friend, may I say to you that it better be a clean tongue if the Lord has come into your life. He'll clean you up, and that's the important thing. A clean tongue is what a great many folk need today. They need a loving tongue. These are the things that are needed, my friends, and these are the marks. And the mark, therefore, is the doctrine, not these outward signs. Now, he says that the Word of God had gone through him to Illyricum. Now, that was a province of the Roman Empire next to Italy. You'll notice it comes down to the Adriatic Sea and goes up to the Danube River. Paul, at this time, had preached this far, the province that was right next to Italy, right next to Rome. But he hadn't quite reached Rome yet. And no record occurs in Acts of this visit of Paul at all. Paul went many places, friends, we do not have any record of. Now, there are those that believe he went even to Spain. I think this epistle will reveal he went to Spain. But I also believe that Paul probably went to Great Britain. Paul covered the Roman Empire, and we'll see that as we move along.